Today on The Journey.
Jesus in this prayer is teaching us that prayer is simply talking to God. Not just when we hit the treacherous waters of our life, but every day we are to call upon our Father.
Who's first on your spiritual speed dial? When things are well or ill, who do you contact before any others? Well, Jesus shared the number at the top of his list, and today Ron Moore shares it with you. Learn it so that whether you're pleading or praising, you get in touch with the first person Jesus told you to call. Also, we want you to have a copy of Ron Moore's life-changing digital devotional, More Than Words. It contains 30 daily meditations that open up the Lord's Prayer so you can see all the treasure hidden there. More Than Words is available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. I'll have the details later this half hour. Now here's Ron with part three of a series titled The Great Adventure of Prayer, On the Journey.
Mark Ashton Smith is a 33-year-old lecturer at Cambridge University. And recently, he was kayaking off the southern tip of England when his kayak hit some treacherous waters and he capsized. And the first thing he thought about doing, only in this day and age would he think about this, but the first thing he thought about doing was calling someone on his cell phone. And you know who he wanted to call on his cell phone? His father. Didn't matter that his father was some 3,500 miles away training British troops, but he dialed his father. And it wasn't long before his father found out where he was, called the Coast Guard, and within 12 minutes, a helicopter was there and rescued a grateful Ashton Smith out of the water. We're in a series of sermons on worship, demonstrating with our lives how much we love God, responding to His person and His word and His work. We have been considering this part of worship called prayer. How do we pray? And we decided to go and learn from the best teacher, Jesus Christ, as He is teaching us through the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus, in this prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer, is teaching us that prayer is simply talking to God. Not just when we hit the treacherous waters of our life, but every day, continually, all the time, we are to call upon our Father who loves us, who cares for us. Prayer is as easy and simple as talking to God, yet as profound and powerful as taking us before the very throne room of the eternal God. So let's continue looking at the Lord's Prayer. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Let me begin reading in verse 5 and we'll review as we read through this. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, when Jesus talks about prayer and what it means to talk to the Father, He begins by dealing with not what to say, but the attitude in which we should say it. It says in verse 5, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. Jesus here says, come with a heart of humility, not like the hypocrites. In verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Here Christ says, focus. Don't be distracted. Find a place where you can focus on the living God. Verse 7, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Jesus says it's not prayers of repetition. The prayer He gives us is not to be repeated over and over. It's a model prayer with principles. We are to speak to God from a sincere heart. And then verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask Him. And so we can come to Him with confidence. And then Jesus taught us to pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We'll pick up today with verse 11. Give us today our daily bread. What are we praying for when we pray for our daily bread? Well, here Jesus uses a figure of speech called a synecdoche. It's a part that represents a whole. So when Jesus says, pray for your daily bread, he is taking us to the very basic food bread, and he's saying, as you pray for bread, the part, you are really praying for the whole. You're praying for every need that you have, every physical need, every spiritual need. A couple things here to understand when we pray for daily bread. First of all, we are praying for physical and spiritual needs. We're asking God to give us what we need, not what we want. Lord, give me everything I need to please you today. I don't want to be a spoiled child with a room full of toys and an unthankful heart. I want to have what you deem necessary in order to please you. It's a great prayer in the Old Testament, prayer of Agar. It's in Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. I love this prayer. It's a prayer of balanced perspective. Agar prays this, God, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who's the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor your name. What a great prayer. Prayer of balance. Give me just what I need. Don't give me too much or I'll be tempted to say, I don't need you, God. Don't give me too little or I'll be tempted to steal from my food. Just give me my daily bread. Give me exactly what I need. It's just the opposite of stuffing ourselves with food or material things or popularity or position, whatever we're competitive at. Jesus is saying, just pray for what you need. Don't stuff yourself with all the stuff of this world. Pray for what God knows you need. Because remember, He knows what you need before you even ask. The second part of the prayer reminds us of our continual dependence. Father, today I pray for my what? My daily bread. Now, I don't want a weekly amount. Don't want a monthly amount. But daily, just what I need. And when we do that, pray for our daily bread, what do we have to do? We have to come back tomorrow and pray for that day's allowance. Then we have to come back the next day and pray for that day's allowance. And then we have to come back the next day and pray for that day's allowance. And so when we pray for daily bread, we're doing what God wants us to do in the first place. Talk to Him on a regular and continual basis. See, one of our greatest blessings is really our greatest curse. Not one of us is forced to pray for daily bread because our cupboards are full. We know that we could get by a week, maybe a month, without ever having to go to the store. And so we become confident in and of ourselves that we really don't need God because we have everything we need. But here God says, you come to me every day, not just for physical stuff, but for the spiritual things you need, for the encouragement you need, for the comfort you need, for the love that you need, for the forgiveness you need, continually depending on me for every thing you need. One more thing here. I think often when we think of daily bread, we just think of a stale piece of bread and a half a cup of water, as if God is going to scrimp on blessing us. You might have heard about the Air Canada Airlines. They were very pleased with their workers who scored top marks on customer service. In order to reward them for their great work, they gave them a $3.78 hamburger coupon that expires in 5 weeks. The coupons are redeemable at any company owned by the company that supplies the food to the airline. So not only is this a cheap hamburger, it's an airline hamburger. Sometimes we think God's like that, don't we? just a stale bread and half a cup of water. But he's not. He's not there to give us just this little bit. In fact, Philippians chapter 4, we read, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus." He loves us so much that he sent Jesus Christ to die for us. And he will give us everything we need. He will lavish it upon us according to the riches in Christ. So when we pray for our daily bread, we're basically praying this: Father, please give me everything I need for this day. Help me to be mindful of my continual dependence on you for all things, materially, emotionally, and spiritually. Father, thank you for knowing my needs even before I ask. Thank you for the promise that you will supply all my needs according to your riches in glory. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Here Jesus is telling us to do two things. First, as we come to him on a daily basis, continual dependence, we are to ask for forgiveness. We are sinners. As Christians, the penalty of sin has been taken away. The propensity to sin, the desire to sin, and the acts of sin remain. 1 John tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, writing to believers, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have no sin in us, the truth isn't in us. So we come to God on a daily basis saying, Lord, reveal to me my sin. Show me where I'm missing the mark. Show me where my words were piercing. Show me where my actions did not honor you. Show me, Father, where I failed in my relationships with other people. And ultimately, Father, show me where I failed with you. And I confess my sins before you today. Now, confession is not just a flippant, Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and moving on. With confession, there is also change. Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done, and I don't want to do it again. Please forgive me for what I've done and help me to change. And I want to change all the situations in my life that are causing me to sin. So confession is always accompanied by change. Now, we're not only to ask God to forgive us, but we do that as what? As we forgive others. Forgive me, Father, as I forgive others. Look at verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? You want God to forgive you? You have to forgive others. You don't want to forgive others? Don't expect God to forgive you. And that really brings us to an issue in our life, doesn't it? Are there people we have not forgiven? Are there situations in our life that have hurt us and we have not dealt with them? Are there still people in our minds that we refuse to talk to? We refuse to pray for. We wish them the very worst. And when we hear things that are bad about them, we accept it right off and are pretty glad it happened. Because if we don't forgive others, Christ says then God's not going to forgive you. C.S. Lewis put it so well. He said, everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. So it's a great idea and a great concept, but do you have something to forgive? And so in this part of the prayer, Christ is asking us to pray this. Father, please forgive my sins. For I am blind to my sins, reveal them to me. Give me a heart of true repentance, which involves confession and change. And Father, as you have forgiven me, help me to forgive others for their sins against me. Now, the prayer of forgiveness naturally leads us to the final two petitions. Having been cleansed from sin, we don't want to be dirtied by it again. So we pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Now, James, in his book in the New Testament, makes it clear that it is not God who tempts us. James writes this, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed." So we're tempted when we are dragged away by our own natural desire to sin. And each of us in our lives, no matter who you are, you have an area of your life, or maybe more than one area of your life, where you have strong temptation. And you know what it is. I know what it is in my life. You know what it is in your life. And you know that it's at that area of your life that you are easily dragged away, or potentially dragged away. The temptation is always there. For each of us, different temptations, but for each of us, we have those strong propensities, those strong desires to sin. And so the prayer here is simply this: God, keep me away from people, from places that stir those sinful passions. Keep me away from positions that stir those sinful passions. Keep me away from situations that drag me down and influence me to sin. Give me enough sense to stay away from places and situations where I know I will be tempted to sin. If I'm an alcoholic, I don't spend time at a bar. That's a foolish thing to do. It's too tempting. If I'm tempted in another area, I don't want to be in that area. I want to be smart enough, God, help me to be smart enough not to go there, not to be dragged down by those people. Help me to be smart enough to get away from those situations. Lead me not. Don't let me go. Guard me against those areas of my life where I'm greatly, greatly tempted. So the prayer here is simply this: Father, these are the areas of my life where I face temptation. And you can write them down because you know what they are. Give me wisdom and strength to stay away from situations and people that urge me to sin. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. Deliver me from Satan. We are no match for Satan. We are never to stand up to Satan and take him on, because we'll be defeated every time. 1 Peter 5, 8 says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Your enemy, my enemy, our enemy, is Satan. He is not omniscient. He doesn't know everything about us, but he is a great student of human nature and a great student of you and me. He knows where we are tempted because he's watched us fall there many times. He knows what to put in our path. And he knows that as soon as we fall, he is ready to pounce on us and keep us down until we are gone. So, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Don't let us get there. Because when we fall, Satan will be on us like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And no matter who you are, no matter how strong you think you are as a believer, Paul says, be careful if you think you stand, because you're most susceptible to falling. It's a sad story of David in the Old Testament. After his issue with Bathsheba, after all the consequences to that, David is at the end of his life. He's about to die. And he's tempted. Matter of pride. And David, against everyone's counsel, wants to number the army. As he's dying, he's thinking, I just want to know how many men I have. And his commanders and his council said, don't do it, David. God is our God. He'll take care of it. You don't need to know. David said, no, you go number them. And David paid terrible consequences, the loss of thousands of men because of that one act of sin. And Scripture says it like this in 1 Chronicles 21. Satan rose up against Israel and incited David to take a census of Israel. Satan rose up, that roaring lion, and tempted David in his weak area, and destruction of many occurred. So our prayer is this, Father, I'm no match for Satan. I know he desires that I bring dishonor to your name, but clothe me with a full armor so I can take my stand against his schemes. Protect me, because I know if I slip, he's going to be on me like a roaring lion to do me in. We've been talking about prayer. And we've said simply this, that prayer is talking to God. You know, you don't have to have any fancy words. You don't have to have all this Christianese down. Jesus says it's simply talking to the Father. And it's doing so on a continual, daily basis. It's nothing fancy. It's simple, but so profound. Just talking to God. Sometimes we don't even know the words to say. Sometimes the pain is so hurtful and we are so confused that we don't know how to pray. You gone through those times? When you say, Lord, I don't know what to say, but I know I need to be with you. Sometimes again, as I said earlier, the joy is so great that we just can't put into words our thanksgiving. We don't have to, because our Father is there.
And please stay with us. Ron returns with a special announcement just ahead. Have you ever happened upon an old familiar trunk stored in the attic that you'd never opened? It had been there for years, a constant companion to your other family heirlooms, but to that point, unexplored. Then one day, you had a look inside and discovered treasures you'd only dreamed of. Items with rich history that revealed more about you and your heritage than you ever knew existed. Well, that's a lot like the spiritual wealth found in the Lord's Prayer. In his devotional, More Than Words, Ron Moore unlocks and opens this favorite biblical passage. There, in 30 daily meditations, he compares Scripture with Scripture to unveil the rich concepts the Lord Jesus intended for you to find and enjoy. A digital download of More Than Words is yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron to tell us about an important upcoming event.
I'm here with the Associate Pastor of the Bible Chapel, Dave DiDonato, and we want to let you know about an exciting series that we're going to be teaching together this summer. It's called Relevant Faith, and it will run for 6 weeks, beginning August 10th and 11th at the Bible Chapel. During the six-part series, we're going to address some of the most important issues facing our culture today. Things like, is there such a thing as absolute truth? The person of Jesus Christ, and the significance of the church. Dave, what's the motivation behind this series, and why is it so important?
Well, Generation Z includes those in the age bracket roughly around 8 to 24 years old, and they are growing up today in what many consider the first post-Christian generation of our country. That means that more than 50% of this generation is unchurch. They are living in a world that is trying to completely redefine what truth is. And we believe it's the church's responsibility to prepare this next generation for the culture they are living in today.
If you live in the Pittsburgh area, we invite you to join us in person for our Relevant Faith series at one of our campuses in the South Hills or in Robinson, in Ross Traver, in Washington, in Wilkinsburg. Visit our church website at BibleChapel.org. That's BibleChapel.org for more information. And for those living outside the Pittsburgh area, you can join us through our online campus that streams our services from our website, our app, and our Facebook page. Join us this summer as we declare that following Jesus Christ is just as relevant today as it's ever been, and that Christ alone is the only way to have a relationship with the living God. We look forward to seeing you at one of our campuses.
Again, that web address is BibleChapel.org. And please remember to get your copy of Ron's online devotional, More Than Words. Understanding its biblical truths will revolutionize your prayer life. It's available for a gift of any amount at ronmore.org. That's ronmore.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on The Journey.